right. We will be in Colossians chapter 4 this morning, please. Colossians chapter 4. And in Colossians chapter 4, I begin reading in verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And I thank you for your perfect peace that we have sung about. You do give that as we walk in your will. And no, we can't explain it. It's that which is beyond, that passes all understanding. But God, we know your presence as we look to you, as we walk with you. You have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we are anchored in this inspired word, which we can count on, as we saw the lesson this morning. Father, help us to learn more of the scripture and to know it is your words given perfectly to us. Thank you, dear God. Father, I pray for the filling of your spirit. Help me ministering your word to your church this morning. Help my dear wife relaying the message in sign. Fill it with your spirit. Be with those who would be in the nursery watching the children, Father, and help them, I pray. And I thank you for the word that's already gone forth and how our hearts can be stirred to have confidence in this word. I thank you and I praise you, God. We have no reason to doubt you. And so, Father, help us in that. And Lord, might you be glorified through the message this morning, and might we be drawn closer to you, and might we shine just a little brighter, perhaps, for you. Might our lives be a little more salty as if you, in the time that you'd give us, Father. Might our hearts be a little more focused upon eternal things and not temporal things, God. And Father, we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. God is sovereign. He's in control of everything. Before anything ever happened, he knew everything that would happen. Before you think a thought, he knew what you were going to think. And there's no way we can have it understand that. But brethren, that portion's not for us to understand. That portion is for us to rest on. Amen? We can trust God when we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand how he's going to work this out. We don't understand why this came. But as we have fellowship with God in our own hearts, he gives us that assurance. One of the greatest burdens that I face every week is, Lord, what do you want me to preach to your church this coming week? I agonize over that many times. Wow. And yet, God leads and God directs. Sometimes I will I feel like I didn't get some clear direction. Now, don't get me wrong. You can pray and open this book and preach from anywhere, and you'll be okay. Amen. And sometimes I'll just start something. I'm not sure. And then God, something will happen, or I'll read something in my personal devotions. And okay, God, this is the one. I see that now. We just trust Him, amen. We just trust Him. And He will guide us. He will guide us. I'm going to speak this morning a bit about an attitude that needs to permeate our Christian lives. That's the prominence of thankfulness. The prominence of thankfulness. And we're going to look at some things that thankfulness will always accompany. It'll always, be a part of some spiritual growth in our life. And we can be thankful always, and we are commanded to be. Doesn't mean that we're always singing, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. No. But if we realize, if we really realize what God has done for us in Christ, we are always thankful. We can always be thankful. And so point number one, let's consider that thankfulness is the partner of, number one, steadfast prayer. Thankfulness will be the partner, number one, of steadfast prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same, what's it say? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We never have an excuse for an attitude of unthankfulness towards God. We never have that. Never have an excuse to come, if we come to God and don't come to Him in thankfulness first. We've always got something to be thankful for, especially if you're a believer. That's magnified with your believer. By the way, the lost have much to be thankful for. A lost person who's not yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior drinks of the same rain that falls from the heavens as you and I do. They eat from the same food that grows from the earth as you and I do. And by the way, if they're alive, they're not in hell. They're still alive. They've been given another day. Amen. God is always working to draw people in. Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, John chapter 1 says. Time a man comes into the world, God is working to draw that person to Himself with some light. Whether it be creation or conscience, and if they keep yielding to that light, creation and conscience, where will it lead them? As Brother Travis points out, it'll lead them to the Scriptures, amen. Some things to be thankful for. Remember that you were without Christ, and I say you, I include myself. Remember that you were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. I don't know, preacher, I've got so much going wrong in my life. I really think it's understandable for me to be unthankful at this point. No. It's a difficult time you're going through. But here are some things that, especially if you're a believer, you can be thankful for all the time. And should be. We should be. Thank God that when you had no spiritual strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:6. Thank God that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Romans 5:8. Thank God that when you didn't love God, yet God loved you and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:10. Thank God that someone shared with you the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Romans 1:16. Thank God that when you believed and called upon the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you trusted in him and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. Thank God you became a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. I mean, if we'd spend some time pondering these things, meditating upon these things, this will cultivate a thankful spirit. Amen. And by the way, all of this, none of the outward circumstances of your life or my life can touch or remove the great blessing that God has put upon us through Christ. Thank God he has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. By the way, that goes very well with Hebrews 13:15, our memory verse for today. He's never leaving. He's always with us. Thank God he's preparing a place for you in heaven. John 14:3. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Thank God he's coming back for you. John 14:3 also. Amen. Thank God one day you will be with him forever, believer. Forever. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What's it say? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thankfulness. All of that can cause any believer in the world to fall on their face in thankfulness of God regardless of what's going on around them. You know why that is? Because that didn't come. All these things that we're claiming came at a very great price. And that was the suffering of our Savior. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became he poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And that's why we can be thankful to the heart of God. It costs great suffering to the only one who has never deserved suffering. And it was only his love that moved him in between me and God's wrath that I deserve. And that's the way it is for every believer. Thank God that you've been enabled and assigned to fulfill the greatest purpose in life. That is to please God as a faithful witness and ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Could you imagine the doctor that in all of his studies and all of his experiments and all of a sudden finds out, there it is! The cure for cancer! I've got it! I've tried it on multiple things and it's working on everything. There it is. What's he going to do? He's going to get the word out. He's going to get the word out. And you know, even if that happened, that would only save someone's physical life. You and I have the word that save someone what? From an eternal hell. And transports them into the kingdom of God, into God's family. You and I have that word. How much more guilty would we be in not spreading that all we can? How much more guilty would we be than the doctor who would find that cause and refuse to spread it? Thankfulness. We can be thankful that He regulates our trials. He will not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He's watching over all that. I was thinking about that. I thought about Job. And the devil wanted to get God to curse Job. Now, how much Job knew about that at the time, we don't know. But guess what? Job didn't curse God. The devil failed. God didn't allow Job to be tempted above that he was. Now there was some other problems revealed during Job's temptation. That was between God and Job. But Satan said, I'm going to do this to you. God says, no, you won't. I won't let you do more than he can handle. He's walking with me. And Job did not fail in the manner that Satan was trying to get him to fail. He did not curse God. We may fail some way through our trials, but that may just reveal some more work that God has to do. But if we'll trust God through our trials, we will grow. Amen? And God will accomplish what He wants to accomplish. He'll give us that victory that He has for us in that trial. Be thankful that God regulates our trials. Amen? Thank God that He hears your prayers and answers them according to His will. 1 John 5:5. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Amen? God answers our prayers according to His will. And He teaches us through prayers. Sometimes we ask things that aren't His will. And eventually, as we wait, we learn the answer is going to be no, or wait a while, or maybe we'll answer it differently. I'm glad that God is smarter than I am. How about you? I'm sure you, amen. We're glad about that, aren't we? I want to be led by somebody that's a lot smarter than me, okay? I have a comfort knowing that I am being led by a sovereign God. A God that knows everything in the future, every thought that's going to come to pass, everything is going to come my way. He knows all the stuff behind the scenes that I know, don't know anything about perhaps, and maybe never will some of it. And He's taking care of that. If I will just walk in the light that I do know and that He has shown me. He doesn't hold me accountable for things I don't know unless I'm just rebelling and not reading the Word of God, okay? Unless I am being willingly ignorant, now that's a problem, okay? But with that in line, He doesn't hold me accountable for things I don't know. Thank God that His compassions and His mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:22-23. And Jeremiah realized that after he'd seen his family and many relatives starve to death. And of course, Jeremiah didn't have immediate family. He never married, but he saw all of Jerusalem surrounded and besieged and starving within the city. But then he remembered that it was God's mercy that they weren't consumed. They disobeyed God. We've been learning this through the minor prophets, haven't we? They disobeyed God time and time again. We'll see a little bit more of that in Malachi tonight. His mercies are new every morning. We need to be thankful. We need to believe and be thankful. Romans 1:21. And here is reference to the lost. Because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, what to say? Neither were thankful. One of the first lights that comes into our understanding, conscience is probably among the first, because even as a little kid we begin to what? Learn right from wrong. Especially for those of us who are fortunate enough to have parents to teach us right from wrong. The world today is trying to get parents to stop doing that. There is no right and wrong. That's all subjective. You need to throw out that vocabulary. Please don't. Amen. There is a right and wrong. Amen. We have the perfectly preserved Word of God for us right here. He who is the incarnate truth bear witness to the truth of the written truth, of the inscribed truth. Amen. And we can trust it. Be thankful. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Okay, there must be a great creator out there somewhere. And God says, when that light first comes in, one of our first responses is what? To be thankful. Why? Because somebody made this planet, and I just drank some nice, cool, fresh water, and I need that to live. Because somebody made this planet, and I just had me and I some nice corn and some beef and I need those things to live. One of the first responses when we realize there's a God out there is He's also a merciful God. He's a need-providing God, is He not? I forget all the details, but you know our solar system is traveling through the universe at millions of miles an hour. We better hope somebody's in control, amen? And by the way, somebody is. I was wearing this, the God, the Creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth His handiwork. You know, I was thinking about God creating. We look at space. Where's the end of it? Have we found the end of the microscope yet? No. You know, I thought about that. Would it have been wrong for God to make something that we could find the end of it? No. We might have been able to look at it and say, well, don't go past there. You know, what if he made a flat earth and you just sailed off the edge like some people think? Would that have been wrong for God to do? No. Why all this eternal stuff? I think he's just showing off. And by the way, that's okay for God, amen. That's called showing forth his power and his glory. I'm going to make something that, as far as you know, as far as we know anyway, there's no end to it. And God says, and if you think that blows you, that clue that you're looking at had a beginning. I have no beginning and no end. So if you ever get that figured out, we're still far from getting God figured out. Amen? What a great God. And by the way, He's the one, as we sing, that careth for me. That cares for me. Believing and being thankful. Thankfulness seems to be a lost art today. Warren Wiersbe illustrated this problem in his commentary on Colossians. He told about a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston. And Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him. Not one. I think about that. That's amazing, isn't it? And by the way, it's really not in our in our fallen nature to be thankful. Some one of the things you see be the terminology being used today is, you deserve this. You deserve better. I can tell you, I know what I deserve. And you find it's a place called hell. That's what I deserve. And by the way, that's really all we deserve. Anything above that or away from that is blessing. By the way, it's blessing that we really haven't realized how great that is yet. We may realize how great that salvation is when we see ourselves saved and those without Christ cast into that place one day. I think then we'll have a greater view of that. I don't think we're quite there yet. Being thankful. We have such a loving God. I recline in God, and I hope you are too. How great He's taking care of me. And the hope that He gives. And studying this out, we talk about the law of first mention in our Bible. A lot of times it has the idea of, this is what's going to be associated with this throughout the Bible. Gives us a little bit idea of what's coming about that particular subject. And in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, we find the first mention of complaining in our English Bible. The word complained. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now here's what their problem was. Here's what they were doing. Oops, I can't tell you that. The Bible doesn't mention it. We have no idea what they were doing or what they were complaining about. The Bible just says that God was displeased and they were judged. What do we learn from that? There's no excuse for complaining to God. He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not also with Him, what? Freely give us all things, the Scripture says. We have no excuse. Every human being who has ever been or ever will be born on the face of this earth has been or will be the recipient of some grace of God that he does not deserve. Every single one. Thankfulness is the partner of steadfast prayer. Psalm 104. Enter into His gates, what's it say? With thanksgiving. Right on the bat. What's coming up? Well, first, when I go to those gates, don't forget your thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. By the way, we'll see a little bit later, praise is thanksgiving also. A great part of it. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Thankful, thankful, thankful. I would submit to you that there is no steadfast prayer apart from thankfulness. We can't come before God with an attitude of unthankfulness and think that we're going to have fervent prayer or steadfast prayer. Number one is the partner of steadfast prayer. Number two, thankfulness. There's Psalm 104. Number two, thankfulness is the partner of strong faith. It's the partner of strong faith. Look at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and what? Established in the faith. As ye have been taught, what? Abounding therein with, what's it say? Thanksgiving. Brethren, if we're going to be strong in the faith, that's not going to happen without our abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's the partner of strong faith. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the believers how they should not be living like the world anymore. They should be known for different things. And he says to them, but fornication, now sexual sins and all those things, we have to understand, were part of the world's worship in those days. That's why they had such a problem. That's why we see it mentioned so often in the Bible. Many people believe that was divine. That's how they connected with the gods, by connecting with their priests and prophetesses and priests and priestesses. Paul says, no, we stay clear. He says, but fornication. Listen, there's one command for fornication and temptation to sexual sins. And what is it? Flee. Run. Well, I'll be strong and resist that. Don't you dare. That comes up on your phone. Put it away. Put something on your phone so it don't come up. That comes out there somewhere in the workplace. You see that? Get away from it. Flee. Well, it just won't look. No. Get away from it. Get away from it. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, Ephesians 5:3, let it not be once named among you as it become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish jesting, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or appropriate. Don't let those things be known among you. But then he finishes the sentence with, in Ephesians 5:4, but rather the giving of thanks. Do we realize that if we're going to be known by something, we have to do it? And by the way, we have to do it clearly. We have to communicate it. You tell somebody in sign that you're thankful for that. We speak with our voice that we're thankful for that. We communicate that. And by the way, if we're going to be known for that, that means that needs to be a habit. It's not just something that we feel inside, it's something that we communicate. And it's not just something that we communicate, it's something that we will learn to what? Communicate often, amen? And to be known for that. We often get tried, and we need to remember we're thankful. I had a little test I failed yesterday, and I put brakes on my car that needed brakes on the front. The front was getting bad, and I put the brake pads on it, and some of the things didn't fit right. And when I was leaning at one point on the car, and my emergency brake didn't work so good, and it came off the jack. Can I tell you, I wasn't thankful at that time. I was struggling. But God reminded me, you know, and I prayed all through that thing. You know, God helped me get everything rectified and everything fixed and everything on. It's all working. But I had to call on His name, you know, more. I'd done that before, you know. I didn't really need God, no. He tests us in that way sometimes so we can grow a little bit. And by the way, so that we can realize that we need to grow a little bit, amen? Especially. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20 goes a little better than that. Give thanks always for all things. Why? Because God's putting the right ingredients in my life to make me like Christ, just as He is in yours. Paul was thankful. He had a thankful spirit. Romans 1:14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul says, I'm a debtor. What God has done for me and shown me, I can never repay. That's a spirit of thankfulness. And so, though I spill my blood, I'll be thankful for that. And I will go and do what the Lord who spilt his blood for me has strengthened me and enabled me to do. Thankfulness. In a sermon at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles, Gary Wilburn said, "In 1936, amid the darkness of the 30 Years' War, a German pastor, Martin Rinkart, is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year." An average of 15 a day. His parish was ravished by war, death, and economic disaster. In the heart of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside the window, he sat down and wrote this table of grace for his children. This 30 Years' War, this was with the Reformation and the wars of Roman Catholicism and Lutheranism as they began to fight back and forth and associate territories with their different religious beliefs, all just havoc all through Europe, 30 Years' War. 4.5 to 8 million, it is estimated, died during that time from the war, the famine, or disease. In Germany, where this pastor was, there was a civil war, the Catholics against the Protestants, and there was just grueling times. In the heart of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote this table grace for his children. You might recognize it as a hymn. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things had done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Here was a man who knew thanksgiving comes from the love of God, not from outward circumstances. And by the way, we have much to be thankful in addition to with outward circumstances here compared to the rest of the world, okay? But take it all away, and you and I still cannot fully count the things that we had to be thankful for because we're saved in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:3, our memory verse for today, 13:15. We are to go forth, verse 13, "therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, strong faith going forth. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By therefore what? Let us offer," here it is, "the sacrifice of praise." And what is that continually? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I told you I was going to show you that praise is also giving of thanks. "Going forth in strength for our God. Let us offer what? The sacrifice of praise." And what is it? Continual thanksgiving. Anybody can be thankful on the mountaintop, brethren. But we can forget, like I did yesterday morning, we're supposed to be thankful when things don't quite go the way that we hope they go. Amen? We're supposed to endeavor to remember that. God's so merciful to us, even when we forget it, isn't he, at times? Thirdly and finally, thankfulness is the partner of sanctified service. Of sanctified service. Now, I don't pick a specific verse out of the text here in Colossians 4, But I would remind us that when the Apostle Paul is writing about all this thankfulness, where is he? He's in prison. And he doesn't know whether it could go either way. That's where he's at. He also wrote the letter of Ephesians from that same imprisonment, and there he did spell it out. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. See, Paul didn't consider himself a prisoner of Nero or of Rome. He considered himself a prisoner, why? Of who? The Lord. Why is that? Because he had surrendered himself a servant of the Lord when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He said, what? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And with the rest of his life, he showed he meant that. And Jesus said, go on into Damascus. I'm going to send a man named Ananias. He's going to meet you. And I would, and so he spoke with Ananias as Paul got into town. And God said this to Ananias, I will show him, the Apostle Paul, how great things he must suffer for my sake. And by the way, he was saying that I will show him experientially. And Paul learned, the Holy Spirit bears witness that afflictions abide in me wherever I go. Why? But he was a sanctified servant. He said, neither count we our lives dear, what? That we might finish our course with joy. See, if my main goal is to keep this flesh here alive and happy and feeling good, guess what? You're going to lose that battle anyway. Even if God's merciful and gracious to you and gives you many years, pretty soon, brethren, things aren't going to work like they used to, okay? That's going to become eventually a rough road. You see, my wife, you're living around with her poor sciatica problems, you know. I mean, I'm perfect health and I don't have any problems. No, yeah. A lot of mine are up here. Sanctified service. But God, I will serve you with whatever time you give me, with whatever strength you give me. One scripture says that they would glorify him while I have any being. Whatever's left of me, God, mentally or physically, whatever that dwindles down to, when I get to that point, I want to, with all of that, worship you and be your servant. Sanctified service. Paul said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And by the way, he is sovereign. I could not be in this prison. Nero or whoever has no power over me any more than Pilate had over Jesus Christ. Amen? And Paul realized that. God's in control here. That means I'm his prisoner. And I'll serve him as his servant, even in this situation. I think about Jonah when he disobeyed God and ran the other way. And ended up on the fish ship. Jonah goes into the water, and he prays a prayer from inside the whale. Jonah 2:7, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. This is a prayer he's praying inside the whale. But we went through Jonah. We went through this verse by verse. He's praying inside the whale. But he's remembering in his prayer, he is reciting a prayer, he's remembering the prayer that he prayed when he was outside the whale, in the water going down to the bottom of the sea before the whale swallowed him. So in his prayer, he's remembering, inside the fish, he's remembering a prayer that he's already prayed. And he's talking about that, and he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'll read the wrong one. When my soul fainted within me, that's when he thought he was going to drown, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. Now he's inside a fish, and guess what? He realizes he's still got a heartbeat anyway. He called upon God when he thought he was going to drown, and God saved him via the whale or via resurrection. Amen. And Jonah goes on, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities. We have the truth right here. When we don't observe this, we have to observe something else. And if we don't observe the truth, if we don't conduct our lives according to the truth, it will be according to some lie. We will be observing lying vanities. They that observe lying vanities, what? Forsake their own mercy. This is what Jonah realized. Now he's still in the fish now. Okay, I'm going to continue this prayer. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I wonder what that sounded like from the fish if he was saying that out loud. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I will serve God. I will serve you, God. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will be a thankful servant, God. He didn't do so well when he came out of the fish either, did he, by the way? And God still had mercy on him, didn't he? He started whining and complaining about the heat and about God didn't destroy the people and God was merciful to him. Consider Psalm, and we're just about done here, Psalm 116:16. What a good psalm to read. And I'll back it up a little bit in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Psalm 116:12. I will take the cup of salvation. I'm glad I did. And call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I will serve him till I die. I want to be precious in his eyes. Oh Lord, here it is. Truly I am thy servant. I like that. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. You have given me liberty. Anybody been given liberty by Christ here? Amen? Absolutely. We have been given liberty, not to use an occasion of the flesh, but what? By love. What is it? Serve one another. Sanctified service. He goes on, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. He said again, and the son of thine hand, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. There it is. Sanctified service. Sanctified service. I close with this thought. We all know about the story about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. And only one of them came back to thank him. And by the way, that one was a Samaritan. one that the Jews said, well, nothing good about that person, you know. Some have pondered, what kind of excuses did the other nine make for not coming back and thanking him? Just pondering. I'm not saying you're not going to find this in the Bible, okay? Just pondering. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. We could see lost people making all these kinds of excuses about spiritual things. One said he'd catch up with Jesus later. One decided he'd never had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyway. One gave glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done it. One said, I was already starting to improve. Listen, the thankfulness. And I close. Psalm 145, verse 8 through 12. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. And since that is true, all His works, what? Ought to be thankful unto Him. Amen. Well, then I'll just keep reading in Psalm 145, because the next verse is, all thy works shall praise thee. There it is. We already learned in Hebrews that the praise for us, it's the sacrifice of our lips, continually giving thanks unto God. That's how praise in one portion is defined. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. And you can see the sanctified servant in there. You can see the strong faith even in there as well. In all those things, thanksgiving, thankfulness is the partner with the things in our life. Help us to remember, God, I want to try more. I can do a better job, I know, in my life, of being more vocal about thankfulness, of being more active about thankfulness, showing thankfulness by something that I might do or say. And there's ways I know in my life that I can be more thankful. And if I want to become among those that are known for thankfulness, and that's what God has for every one of His children. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. Dear God, who has a greater daddy to be thankful for than we do? No one. We ought to brag about You, Lord. We ought to brag about Your mercies, Your wisdom, Your power. Help us to let the world know that we're thankful, Lord, that You saved us. We're thankful that You haven't forsaken us. You saved us that we might be a new creature, that we might walk in the truth of Your word and not according to the lying vanities of the world. Father, help us more so to do that. And God, I do thank You for the strength to be able to stand up here this morning, for the opportunity to do so, dear God, for this blessed book that we have to love and to read, Father, and to apply to our hearts and lives. I thank You for the inspired, preserved Word of God that we have for us here in our King James Bible. And God, in it, we learn about Your Son. The preaching of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so, Father, we learn more and more about You. And I pray You'd help us to do that. And Father, help us to, as the song says, to count our many blessings, name them one by one. And the greatest blessings that we have, frankly, are the things that the world did not give nor can take away. They're the things You have given to us, promised us, and guaranteed us in Christ. And Father, we have them forever. Father, I pray that we would recognize that and become those who give thanks and praise to Your name, that we might even be remembered by others for doing that. Help us to be careful to thank You and praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen. Amen. Brother Charlie, would you come and close us this morning, please?
Go ahead and stand. We'll pick up our hymnal again and turn to 491. 491 is Your All on the Altar. 491.